On this week's States of the Union, we're taking a look at Alaska, and joining me now to explain what matters to voters in the last frontier is Sean Cockerham, government reporter for the Anchorage Daily News. I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show. Hi, Sean.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
We've been reading in the New York newspapers all about last week's indictment of Ted Stevens on 7 counts of failing to report income, mainly for home remodeling and design. How have those events been playing out with Alaska's voters?
Well, that was certainly the earthquake that happened up here last week. You know, Stevens has been under investigation for a long time. That's been no secret. But I think that there was kind of a conventional wisdom that, boy, if they hadn't indicted him yet, that maybe it was going to not happen before the election, that maybe he was going to go through the election and not have that hanging over him. But
the trial is set to start on September 24th, smack dab in the middle of the fall campaign. Although, is there a possibility that he won't win the primary and won't even be running at that point?
Well, he has. There are 6 Republicans who are challenging him in the Republican primary, but none of them are particularly well known. And the polls post-indictment don't show Stevens' numbers really going down that much among Republican primary voters. I think there's a sense here that a real sense of loyalty, people are kind of rallying around him among Republicans. And there's also, the indictment didn't specifically charge bribery. It charged failure to disclose gifts that he'd received. And so there's a lot of his supporters here who are saying, well, is this that big of a deal?
He has landed a lot of federal projects for the state and was chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee from 1997 to 2001 and from 2003 to 2005. Is that one of the reasons that he has been so popular in Alaska?
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, in New York, he might be better known for things like the Bridges to Nowhere and calling the Internet a series of tubes, you know, throwing tantrums on the Senate floor. But in Alaska, he's known as someone who's brought billions of dollars to the state over the years, who's largely, you know, the state is largely built on federal money. He's very good at getting it, and his fingerprints are on just about every piece of federal policy that's affected Alaska since statehood.
Don't Alaskans have a kind of contradictory attitude about federal money? It is far removed from the rest of the country, and you get a sense of wariness about federal involvement in the state, and yet at the same time, it has relied so much on federal funding.
That's a fact. There is definitely, and a lot of Alaskans acknowledge this, that there's, you know, the kind of the frontier myth of the, you know, the individualist who doesn't need or want government help. But on the other hand, much of Alaska is federally owned, but much of it is parkland. And the economy here is largely built on federal dollars.
Who's likely to be running against the Republican, whether it's Stevens or somebody else, for the Senate seat?
Well, it's going to be, it looks like, more than likely, it's going to be the mayor of Anchorage, a fellow by the name of Mark Begich. He's fairly young. He's 46 as compared to Stevens, 84. He has a long Alaska political history through his family. His father, Nick Begich, disappeared. Was a congressman and disappeared in a 1972 plane crash while campaigning for re-election. And his poll numbers show at this point him way ahead of Stevens. But of course, the trial, September 24th, expected to be a 3 to 4 week trial. So that trial gets over early October. Elections in November, and, you know, that obviously is going to determine what happens there.
Do you think the scandals make it hard for any Republican to win in the fall? I'm thinking also of Congressman Don Young, who's facing a number of challengers in his reelection campaign.
Yeah, and Don Young is under active federal investigation as well, so we've got kind of a unique situation up here. It's definitely making it a lot harder. I mean, Don Young has been, you know, he's been in office for 30-some years. This is his real first real test in a long time. And he has a pretty serious primary challenger in Lieutenant Governor Sean Parnell, who's coming at it from sort of a reformist angle, saying that, you know, tired of Alaska being seen as the symbol of greed and of corruption. But he's also coming at it from a position of wanting to cut federal spending, and that doesn't necessarily play that well in Alaska.
President Bush won Alaska by 25 points in 2004. He won by 31 in 2000. And Alaska hasn't elected a Democratic senator since 1974. Is that good news for the Republicans this fall? Can they feel assured that when the chips are down, they'll win Alaska again this November?
Well, in the presidential race here, the latest polls show McCain with a 5 percentage point lead over Obama. And it's pretty amazing that it's that close, because it is such a Republican state. But the Obama campaign is really making an effort in Alaska. It's more of an effort than we've seen, really, I think, ever from any presidential campaign. There's lots of staff up here. They're running television commercials. There's even talk that Obama is going to come personally campaign in Alaska, which would have been the first time a presidential candidate has done that since Richard Nixon. Whereas the McCain campaign they don't really have a presence here at all. They're not doing anything. And traditionally, among the Republican candidates, I think the Republicans tend to have over the Democrats is that the Republican candidate usually supports drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, which is an enormously popular position here in Alaska. But McCain is against ANWR drilling, as is Obama, and so that's kind of a toss-up there.
Is he still against it? Hasn't he been talking about opening up the wildlife refuge for drilling as part of his new campaign?
I know that he's talking about certainly offshore drilling, but at this point, and Alaska Republicans are really hoping that he will make that change of position and come out definitively for ANWR drilling, but he hasn't yet.
Well, Barack Obama won the Democratic caucuses with 75.2% of the vote. As you say, he had opened a campaign office in the state before the caucuses and has had a real presence there. On the other hand, John McCain came in fourth in Alaska's Republican caucus on February 5th, just ahead of undecided and behind Ron Paul.
Right.
Mitt Romney was the winner. He won the caucuses with 43.7% of the vote. So why were Alaska's Republicans so wary of McCain? Is it simply because of ANWR?
That's part of it. But also, McCain has long battled in the Senate with Ted Stevens. McCain would campaign against the earmarks that Stevens would put in the bills and would make fun of them, and so he's really had an antagonistic relationship with Alaska's congressional delegation. So Alaska Republicans are very ambivalent about McCain. They're not sure what to make of him. They don't want to go with Obama, but they're not particularly excited about McCain.
My guest is Sean Carkaham, government reporter for the Anchorage Daily News. He's talking with us about Alaska on today's States of the Union segment. What about the war in Iraq, which is such a big issue in other parts of the country? Alaska is a militarily strategic state because it's so close to Russia. Does that matter anymore since the end of the Cold War?
Well, Alaska does have, there are major military bases in Alaska. We've got in Fairbanks and Anchorage. We've got a brigade from Fairbanks that's about to go back to Iraq. There's one from Anchorage that's about to go to Iraq, and so that is a pretty significant issue here. Although I don't think that it's really going to play so much into the elections, because I think the people who would tend to be against the war would tend to be Obama supporters, anyways.
Is energy the biggest issue in Alaska right now?
It is. Definitely energy is the biggest issue. And Obama's really, so far the Obama campaign has been fairly shrewd about taking advantage of that. You know, even though Obama is certainly considered to be less, you know, pro-drilling than McCain, Obama has really come out and publicly started pushing a lot for the Alaska Natural Gas Pipeline. He included that in his energy speech in Lansing, Michigan on Monday. And his top advisors spoke with Alaska reporters yesterday to try to hammer home that point that Obama would really make building a natural gas pipeline from North Slope, Alaska, through Canada down to the lower 48, that he'd really make that a priority if he was elected.
Is that a federal thing? Because the state legislature is in the process of voting on approving a license to build this natural gas pipeline. Wouldn't it just be a state facility?
Well, that's the question about what exactly kind of a role the federal government would have. And there would certainly be federal permitting that would be required. And there would also have to be some negotiations with Canada, since so much of it goes through Canadian land for permitting and land issues. The Obama people were pretty vague when I asked them about, well, you say, okay, you're going to push this as a priority. You know, what exactly will that mean? Well, we'll bring the parties together, I think is what they said. We'll talk to the Alaska governor about what we can do. What Congress has done, Congress in 2004 passed a set of tax incentives and federal loan guarantees for the pipeline, pretty significant stuff. And McKean at the time actually opposed that on a government shouldn't be giving subsidies to private enterprise was basically his argument at the time. And so the Obama campaign is trying to also use that against McCain, his opposition to providing those incentives for the gas pipeline.
Wasn't the natural gas pipeline one of the big campaign issues in Governor Sarah Palin's campaign in 2006, one of the reasons she beat the incumbent governor, Frank Murkowski?
Certainly. I mean, certainly a gas pipeline, and that's something that people here have been talking about this right after the oil pipeline was built in the 70s. I mean, this gas pipeline has been, you know, supposedly about to be built for decades. I can't tell you how many press conferences I've been to where people, you know, break out the shovels, are about to build this thing. And one of the things that Palin has really pushed is partnering with a pipeline company rather than the big oil companies and trying to make it happen. And so the legislature just passed her plan to give a license and $500 million in a state subsidy to this Canadian pipeline firm called TransCanada in order to try to move this project forward. The rub is that, of course, in order to have a gas pipeline, you're going to need to have participation from the oil companies because they control the leases to the gas, the natural gas on the North Slope. And so at this point, it's not entirely clear how that's going to come together.
Governor Palin has been mentioned as a potential vice presidential pick for John McCain. How has that speculation been seen in Alaska?
I think most Alaskans actually don't take that particularly seriously. It's kind of an interesting phenomenon. It's one of those things that from up here people saw it as started with some bloggers down in the lower 48, people who had not, you know, weren't from Alaska. Some Alaskans certainly have picked that up and have championed Palin as a vice presidential selection. And then pundits, like I think I want to say the National Review, others really started pushing Palin, and it's sort of become, it seems, among the national media, sort of this idea that she's on McCain's short list. But from the Palin says that she's not been talking to McCain. Palin she's a new governor. She hasn't been in office that long. She doesn't really have a profile on the national stage. Alaska only has 3 electoral votes, so it's not entirely clear, you know, how much that would benefit McCain.
Yeah, I assume that he's going to try to get somebody who'll bring more electoral votes than 3. To him in November. Is the rising price of oil a major issue in a state with such a cold climate?
It is. It's a double-edged sword because the state of Alaska, the state government receives 80% of its revenues from oil taxes and royalties, and so the state is just swimming in money right now because of these high oil prices.
And it's the reason you have no income tax.
That's right. There's no income tax. You know, we're going to receive all Alaska residents are going to receive a permanent fund dividend. They call it a permanent fund dividend. In the fall, it's expected to be $2,000 given to every man, woman, and child who has lived in Alaska for more than a year. And that a lot of it comes from oil. And in addition to that, the state legislature is, as we speak, is looking at ways to try to help people to deal with the high cost of energy. Because although the state government is receiving so much money from the oil companies, you know, gas prices are high, as they are, of course, down in Lower 48. But also, much of Alaska is off the road system. You know, the people who live out in Bush, Alaska, who, you know, diesel fuel has to be barged in. I mean, people are paying like $10 a gallon out there. It's really hurting people. And so what the legislature is talking about, one thing that's on the table is tacking another $1,200 a person onto that $2,000 check that I mentioned that every Alaskan is going to get. So it's possible that then every Alaskan this fall gets a check for $3,200.
Hasn't oil production on the North Slope oil field declined steeply in recent years?
It has. It's been going down steadily for a while. I mean, but certainly it is much less than it used to be. The Trans-Alaska oil pipeline, I believe, is less than half full at this point.
So Alaska faces the prospect of not having all that much oil in how far into the future?
Well, I think that there's a sense that with the high oil prices in that oil prices may not remain this high, but the sense is that they will remain fairly high for a sustained period of time. But that's going to spur more desire for more drilling, and there's already talk amongst, you know, obviously Congress, amongst there's Democrats. They're not for opening ANWR, but they are saying maybe in places like the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska, maybe there should be more emphasis on drilling. And there's talk of potential some offshore drilling in Alaska for oil, and so there's a sense that something might break in terms of increased oil drilling up here pretty soon.
Now, in some states where there's oil potential and other natural resource potential, there is also strong environmental presence. Are environmentalists not welcome in Alaska?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, there are a lot of environmentalists in Alaska, and they are. And they're very active. They're not welcomed by the the politicians who are in charge. There's a quote that I remember once from Don Young once said. The quote from Young. He said he once called environmentalists, quote, a self-centered bunch, the waffle stomping Harvard graduating intellectual idiots. And that's, I think, Ted Stevens always likes to talk about extreme environmentalists and people like enemies of Alaska. But that's kind of a little bit of an older perspective, I think. Anchorage Mayor Begich is running as a Democrat against Stevens. He has environmentalists who are work with him, and so I think that while environmentalism is not perhaps as mainstream as it is in the down in the lower 48, it's certainly there.
What about fishing? Environmentalists are concerned about fishing, and fishing has been a big industry in Alaska.
It is, and one major controversy we have up here right now is there's a firm that's proposing to build a huge mine out in the Bristol Bay area, which is extremely rich fishing grounds, and that's causing a very interesting political mix of people who are opposing it. There are traditional Republicans who would be very much usually pro-development who, now are going out and opposing this mine. I would say that Ted Stevens actually has come out and said that he opposes this mine because the Alaska fisheries remain strong. I think the Alaska fisheries are one of the last fisheries in the world that really remain pretty vibrant.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us today on States of the Union. Sean Carkaham, government reporter for the Anchorage Daily News. We've been talking about Alaska. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.